This is Dave Gloetz. Welcome to another in a series of my interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on politics and government for the Chicago Reader and who's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast.
I'm happy to be here.
Today we're talking about the article that you wrote with Mick Dumke.
The great Mick Dumke.
That appeared in the Chicago Reader on May 26th, 2011. And in the print version of the Reader, it's titled The Making of Mayor Emanuel. And in the online version, it's titled The 20 Months That Made Mayor Emanuel. This is a visual representation of the 20 months preceding the election of Mayor Emanuel, and it's unlike anything I've seen that you've produced before. It is an actual 20-month timeline with a series of text boxes with little clever icons characterizing the text. How do you feel about this format?
Love it. L-O-V-E-I-T with an exclamation point. I urge all of our listeners to run, don't walk, to a newsstand to get this issue of The Reader. I just think it looks great. I love it. Mick and I have been talking about doing this for months, and we've been just keeping tabs on all the little items that have to be on the time chart. And when we finished our first draft, our first rough draft, we had twice as many words as we were allowed to have, so we had to cut half the article. And I joked that we should have a director's cut on the internet with all the stuff that was cut out. So maybe someday we'll get around to doing that, although I doubt it.
Other publications would, in fact, do the longer version online because there's no restriction on space. It would be interesting. What are some of the things that didn't make the cut?
Oh, my. I have to remember now. You're asking me to go back in time.
Time travel is possible. That is the sound effect for time travel.
Yeah. Wait a minute. What did I cut? There was there was a lot we cut on. Thank you. It comes back to me now. Tom Dart's on again, off again run. There was a lot that was cut there. There was a lot of political stuff that was cut. The whole issue of the black community rallying around one candidate, a lot of that was cut. It seemed to us as we had to make this decision of cutting that we shouldn't put too much emphasis on the campaign, and we should try to sort of put more emphasis, relatively speaking, in terms of the whole package, on sort of the after the election stuff as well. So I felt that was ultimately a good decision, though the campaign, there's a lot of information, which I think leads to sort of the angling that Emanuel did to clear the path, you know, challengers and what have you. That's pretty interesting.
One of the things that one may conclude from the various points about candidate Carol Moseley Braun, the evidence suggests that she was a stalking horse for Rahm Emanuel, that she willingly agreed to run and put on such a bad candidacy to throw votes Emanuel's way. What do you think about that?
At the risk of sounding incredibly naive, I do not believe that she knowingly entered this race in order to siphon off votes.
So what about unknowingly? Manipulated.
I think that her campaign was clearly manipulated by the powers that be. I truly don't understand why she hired Victor Reyes, who was, of course, an old daily strategist and a lobbyist for Uno, to be such a high-ranking official. I can't remember if he was her campaign manager. It was a very curious choice, and I don't understand it. It's certainly not going to help her with the constituencies that she needs to get to win. I mean, Victor Reyes comes from the daily side of things, so he knows how to set up a campaign that keeps vote turnout down, right? And to, crush the spirit of anybody who would vote for an insurgent. So why would you hire a guy like that if you want to get people to vote? So it was a very curious choice. You know, the whole race, Mick and I joked, but the whole race was such a depressing, demoralizing spectacle of how wretched our electoral system here is in Chicago. The public rails against insiders and business as usual, and then we elect the ultimate insider to perpetuate business as usual. You know, he concocts some paper-thin facade of wanting change when, of course, it's the status quo. And the people of Chicago go along with it.
Just as they went along with Barack Obama with the same theme.
Oh, God, ouch. You have to remind me of that. Yes, we did disagree on that. I'm speaking specifically of the city of Chicago. You're now broadening it to the entire country.
The article states that Richard Daley would have won re-election because, quote, no other formidable candidates had the guts to take him on, end quote. Who are you talking about?
Well, name them. I guess Jesse Jackson Jr. has to be off the list because he's destroyed his political career, but Congressman Louis Gutierrez Harris, Congressman Mike Quigley, Congressman Jan Schakowsky, let's see, Sheriff Tom Dart, Miguel DeValle, Tony Preckwinkle. You know, the list goes on and on. You pretty much name every single elected official in the city of Chicago who's ever considered running for higher office, a formidable opponent with a well-known name.
Why would you name Del Valle when he, in fact, did run?
He did not run against Mayor Daley.
Are you saying he would not have run if Daley had run?
You were asking me specifically about, we worked from the assumption that I think you share with me, maybe not, that had Mayor Daley run, he would have won. One of the reasons he would have won is that no formidable, well-known candidate with a lot of money or access to money would have run against him.
You think Del Valle would not have run?
No, absolutely not. Del Valle jumped in the race within days after Daley announced he wasn't running. The only names out there at the time when Daley was still considered a candidate were Scott Wagasback and Bob Fioretti. And I like to think that they could have given Daley a run for the money by symbolizing protest campaigns. But again, the city is... The spirit of most people is crushed. They think you can't win. The business community just funnels all its money, by and large, to Daley or Emanuel, you know, expecting fully that they'll get the payback in terms of TIF deals, et cetera, et cetera. So what can I tell you, Dave? This is the state of democracy in Chicago in 2011. I don't want to sound too depressing because, on one hand, it's actually funny. So I will urge our many listeners to read the timeline. For nothing else, there's a lot of good jokes in there.
On that note of realism or perhaps pessimism, we'll end it. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to another in my series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. If you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further interviews or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.